Good morning, everyone. Can we have the roll call?
Yvette Itzu.
Here.
Dan Moore.
Yeah.
Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Although some people are trying.
Can I get a motion for the minutes of the previous meeting, January 16th?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Do we want to go through the financial report? Ready for
yes.
that? Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. David's going to get the PowerPoint up. It's not a real long report. We're only 1 month in, but I did want to highlight a few things that you might have noted in your packet of information. First, I'm highlighting right here property tax revenue. It's a little bit behind where it was in January. It gets a little more concerning, and let me give you the backdrop. We received our second advance just last Friday, and it was $12.9 million. So when you see the February report, we'll have received just over $17 million 2 months in, compared to 2024 when it was $30 million, compared to 2023 when it was $40 million. And it's due to the timing. And one of the things that I find interesting is that counties are moving the deadline back in hopes of helping taxpayers. But most taxpayers escrow their taxes. So you're not really helping anyone. You're actually hurting local governments who would want that advance. I shared with Brian the lost interest earnings on that 1 month of delay since the deadline to pay taxes was, well, it's actually today, it's the 20th. It's February 20th today. We'll get our last payment in March is about $50,000. So I've been in communication with the county, encouraging them to continue to keep the deadline in January when it was and not move it back. And I think that affects many local governments. But we will get all of our property tax collections by the end of March. We're just a little bit behind. So when you see next month, we'll be behind also.
Columbus and Washington.
Next slide, I did want to point out down at the bottom, restricted revenues, substantially higher, $2.7 million was from CZS. We had done numerous CZS projects. We got the billings out to them, and they paid us, or reimbursed us, I should say, so that money's come in. That's why that's substantially higher. All in all, the zoo is about where we would expect, given the weather. You're going to hear that again as we talk about golf. It's about where we would expect. It's not going to get much better this month as we look outside. We actually had people playing golf in February last year. I don't think we're going to have people playing golf this year. So when I talked about how well golf was doing in past years, early in the season, it's not going to be as high. But there was one highlight. This caught my attention when I saw food service up so high. And that was due to we had our concessionaire payment of $12,000 come in. But it was also happy that our building rental revenue was $4,200 higher than it was previously, and with that drove food sales $2,600. So we're renting our spaces, we're using those, and that was one of the highlights. Everything else is about where we would expect. I did want to point out that we did have a purchase down here in construction expense, but that was the Seneca irrigation supplies. They're not really out doing the work yet, but they're getting the supplies. So as soon as the weather breaks, the team can get out there and get that going. So that hit the books this month. Nothing in terms of the individual golf courses. There wasn't a whole lot of golf played in January. As far as enterprise, the one item, dock rentals, this is all due to timing. Dock rental payments this year occurred in January, and we went back and looked last year. The majority of the dock rental payments happened in February. So this will true itself up when you see next month's report in March. And when we go forward, you can see when I talked about dock rentals, there it is. When you see dock rentals again, there it is. In the two marinas, you can see how it's so much higher. January of 05, or January of 25 to January of 24, January of 25 to January of 24. And then commissioners, that's all I had. We're 1 month in. Weather's not been great for us, but we're about where we expected, and I hope that as soon as this snow breaks, we get to March and April and things get back to what our normal pace would be. Are there any questions about the report?
I think I asked Brian this, but are there any federal revenue sources that we should worry about?
We've talked internally. At this point, we don't know because not critical of the administration. You hear one thing one day, you hear a different thing the next day. So we don't know what the real facts are. But at this point, I know the staff are looking at everything that we receive as it relates to grants and whether or not it could be subject to maybe a reduction for DEI. But we don't know of anything for certain that we're going to lose.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We will move into new business. We have a number of general action items. The very first with us, we have three retiring guests representing almost 90 years worth of experience with the Park District. Our very first retiring guest is Denise Costanzo. Brian? That's you, yeah. He gets to introduce you, yep.
Morning.
Morning.
I want to thank you for having us this morning. This is Denise Costanzo. Admin for South Chagrin, but with the park for 28 years. I just wanted to say that my experience with Denise has been, she's awesome. And she and I really developed a really nice relationship over the last 10 years. I learned a lot from her, being a green senior tech coming out of the field into management. She really assisted me in the office, helping me to understand more of the, I guess, the office role. Really over the last 10 years, we've developed a really good relationship. She's my work mom, you know, and she's really helped me along the way, especially if she saw that I needed to go on a walk or go clear my head. She was always there to help out. But she's a wonderful woman, amazing person, loves people, you know, from the roots up. She's always interested in connecting with people. We've had luncheons here with the finance department or the purchasing
finance
department and just being able to stay connected with people. And she really sets the tone and the bar for that. So very pleased and privileged to be announcing her for her retirement. Really going to miss her. She was really an asset to the Metro Park. So thank you, Denise.
In my 28 years with the Metro Parks, I loved, no matter where I worked in all the different locations, I have loved the people. It's family, you know, and it's just connecting. And I have loved when we started branching out to finance because they helped us with so many things whenever we had a question. It was really wonderful to come to the main office and just have lunch and break bread with people that, you know, they're just like us. And sometimes out in the field, administration seems so untouchable. But I loved every opportunity that whenever we got together. I love Crossroads. I love the Star Tour, too. But I love being treated for one day like a queen and having, you know, being served by the administration team. But I will continue to be in the park. I'm a trail ambassador with my husband, and it's just some of the best. It's been such a big part of my life, and I'm just don't have anything better to say. You know, it's been the best place to work. And whenever I've told people, "Where do you work?" Cleveland Metro Parks. Oh, that must be nice. It is the best. It has been the best thing for me, and I'm so glad that. You know, God took me to where I was, so.
Come on over. Denise, on behalf of the Board of Park Commissioners and A.J. Russo, we'd like to recognize you for your 28 years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks. You know, it was interesting. Ryan highlighted your willingness to learn, kindness, friendship. We know about your kids, we know about coaching. You've always shared, and you've been one of the true stars of the organization. So congrats on your retirement.
Thank you so much.
Our next, we have David. Jeremy? He's not going to use this cane to whack you, apparently.
Good morning. I'm Jeremy. I'm the park manager of Brecksville Reservation. I've worked with Dave in Brecksville the past 10 years since I've been there as a manager. Dave's been instrumental in many things throughout Brecksville. He's done a lot with, you know, doing the horticultural side of things, a lot of the forestry arborist stuff. Good carpenter. Pretty much anything I put him on or I sign him, he's able to tackle it. And, you know, if he's got questions or something, he'll figure it out. He'll do his research, try to figure out the solution and complete the projects. But, yeah, he's been a blessing to have, especially with the horticultural side. That's making the park look beautiful, you know, taking care of the planters, working with volunteers on the planters, you know, doing all those kind of teaching people. He's a big teacher. I mean, he's a good one to assign new staff with to learn from, especially when it comes to just basic general maintenance and taking care of the park and making it look nice. You know, just those priorities first versus getting into the deeper things. So, no, it's been a pleasure to have him. So,
thank you.
Yep.
First of all, I'd like to thank everybody. I didn't know I was going to be speaking, but when I started my park career, I actually came from ODNR. I was working for Mosquito Wildlife Area, and that was my ideal job. I had gone back to school to Hocking Tech to get a degree, or actually two associate degrees in outdoor education and in wildlife management, and those were my two loves. And I got my ideal job with ODNR, with Mosquito Wildlife Area. At that time, though, the full-time workers had to wait for attrition for somebody in order to get benefits. And at the same time, I was having my family. I needed the benefits. And an opportunity came available with Cleveland Metro Parks, and I moved over to Cleveland Metro Parks. And I've loved it ever since. And I've got to thank a lot of people because they allowed me not only to do my job at Cleveland Metro Parks that was my actual job description, but go across areas and still have my hands in natural resources. And that would be Dick Kerber and Tom Stanley, Bill Bengali. They all were very instrumental in helping me to remain involved in those areas of natural resources, which was my first love. But then when I got into operations and maintenance, that's a whole nother thing. And I got to, as Jeremy said, expand into other areas in horticulture, carpentry. And it just was a rewarding career for my whole tenure with the park. And I have two boys. I was able to raise them. And all I wanted to do was have them start out and do as good or better than what I did. And my one son is a CPA, the other is an electrical engineer. One graduated from Ohio State, the other from University of Cincinnati. And I couldn't be more proud of the two of them. And the Metro Parks helped me to be able to raise those boys, put them through school, and be the successes that they are now. And I thank you.
Congratulations.
Commissioners, would like to recognize you for your 28 years of service to Metro Parks, a wide variety of jobs, a number of different park reservations. Your time and help will truly be missed. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Our next guest is Patty Potter. Andy?
Good morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about my colleague, Patty Potter. Patty was one of the first zookeepers that I met when I came to Cleveland about 14 years ago. And when she came to the Metro Park, she started as a maintenance supervisor and on service maintenance, and then she transitioned to be an animal keeper. And in that time, Patty has worked a lot of different animals that we've had in care. Some of the more notable ones that might not be known in this room is Patty was one of the last keepers to work with polar bears. at Kluger Metro Park Zoo. She found a great affinity and really was into the conservation efforts around polar bears. She did virtual education around the importance of polar bears and the landscape that they come from. So she had the opportunity and leaned into reaching out to children in the local community about the importance of polar bears and preserving that area. Which is unusual for a keeper that long ago to be willing to be in front of a camera talking to people. So Patty leaned right into that. She also headed up a lot of the new training for our sea lions at that time and creating one of the shows that we did many years ago and public engagement about the importance of marine life and conservation and the intelligence of pinnipeds and marine mammals, which was really great. A lot of that work was set as a standard and shared with the Animal Behavior Management Alliance group. You know, we often talk about the science of animal well-being, but there's also an art to it, and Patty embodies the art of animal training. She's able to get a lot of medical monitoring behaviors out of the animals in her care. She is a great mentor and leader. A lot of the new staff that comes on, Patty just takes to, you know, second hand on taking them under her wing, teaching them everything that she knows in order to bring up the next generation of people caring for animals and training them, and also works cross-functionally to collaborate with other departments to ensure the well-being of the animals here at the zoo. I greatly appreciate it. She embodies all the core values of the Metro Parks, and we are honored to have her have 33 years of service and now be able to watch the snow from her French door, she said this morning. She does not miss the drives in on today. So, Patty, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. You know what? I knew what I wanted to do when I was in middle school, and I started working here as a seasonal when I was still in college. And never looked back. I've loved every minute of working for the Metro Parks. It's been just been a great place to work.
Congratulations. On behalf of Andy G. Russo, the Board of Park Commissioners, we'd like to recognize you for your 33 years of service. And Andy highlighted your guest experience, guest focus, one of our core values. You live them every day. Congratulations. All the best.
Thank you.
The resolution recognizing our three retiring guests falls at the bottom portion of page 10.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Wade, budget adjustment number one.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 11, you'll see budget adjustment number one for 2025. The total amount of the adjustment is $307,045. The details for the adjustment are on page 56 and 57 of your packet. I did want to point out that of the adjustment, $183,045 relates to capital construction expenses. $100,000 of that is from CZS, their new funds that are being appropriated for the zoo giraffe barn. We also have $48,505 for Wallace Lake improvements that are from existing capital funds. And we also received a grant from the Holden Trust for Lakefront Gordon Park comfort stations of $34,541. So they're all new money grants that we had to appropriate. I would ask your approval of budget adjustment number one.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. The next is the resolution for local projects, the LPA agreement 26-27 season, Biennium Road. We just get ahead of the schedule here, but this is through Ohio Department of Transportation. This is something we've been doing for quite a number of years. It's administered, OPRA provides the overall administration. This is just our biennium funding. Based on the previous allocations, anticipated to be about $500,000. We use this to pave our roadways. This is our LPA agreement. Falls in the bottom mid portion of page 12 to enter into the agreement for the LPA with ODOT.
Brian, what amount do we end up paying for this ourselves?
Each year it has a different kind of ebb and flow, but normally it's $1.5 million, $2 million on paving, and then we throw in parking lots, road striping, all-purpose trails and other things. So each year we have a pavement management plan that we actually roll through the entire park district. So this year part of it is Big Creek and a few others that we'll be working on the repaving.
Very good. Thank you. Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is authorization of a land acquisition. This is a 0.08-acre parcel, Bricks Worldwide LLC. This is part of what we would call the downtown Slavic Village Downtown Trail Connector. This will serve as a 3.2-mile connection through the Washington Reservation downtown Cleveland. It's one of the pieces that we need to continue to make the bend around this. We did acquire a property from Neo Phoenix LLC. We have agreed in a fee of plus or minus $90,000 for the acquisition of this. The recommended action falls on the top portion of page 13.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is an authorization for Cuyahoga, or this is the CUI West Creek Trail Professional Construction Inspection Services, as part of an agreement with West Creek Conservancy connecting the reservation over to the Hemlock Trail and the towpath. Cleveland Metro Parks is building this particular section of trail. We need a quality control inspector for this particular project. It was vetted. We have used quality control inspections before. The recommended action falls on the top portion of page 15 to provide construction administration and inspection services for this Greenway Trail project. Recommended action is the top portion of page 15.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is the award of RFQ 6866, Cleveland Metro Parks Gordon Park Improvements Professional Design Services. We put out a request for qualification late early in September of last year. We had the property transferred in October 23 to the management of Cleveland Metro Parks. It's approximately a 48-acre parcel of land. Our goal is to unify it in the management and structure of the Cleveland Metro Parks. It borders I-90, Martin Luther King Drive. We do have a number of very interesting with the railroad tracks and opportunities. Jack Joseph and Morton Mandel Foundation and Land Studio partnered together on a program with Smith Group, looking at the reimagining of it. We've developed a consensus plan, and we are happy to bring forward the next portion of this. We did evaluate four different groups, MKSK, Olin, Sasaki, and Smith Group. After an exhaustive process, we have chosen to go with MKSK for the initial professional design services and the scope that could include the great yard, a few buildings, restrooms, and others. But we will continue to move forward with schematic design. The recommended action falls in the top portion of page 18, with a cost not to exceed $300,000 for a professional services agreement with MKSK for Gordon Park.
Brian, you had a placard up there and requested what the neighborhood would like to do with this. And I was kind of curious what sort of stuff they came up with. I remember when I was a kid, it was largely used for drag racing.
And I think that was you, actually.
but it was not really. It was sort of a borderline area where nice people didn't go.
I think it's, you know, the park has had an interesting history, obviously, from dating way back to the Gordon family and the donation. Certainly, you know, we have an infrastructure piece with the railroad sitting on the southern part of it, I-90 basically bifurcating north and south portions of it. It essentially became a recreation haven for, you know, ball games, for transients, basically. The neighborhood wasn't necessarily using the park. So through a lot of the community engagement that was supported by Mandel and Land Studio, it's really interesting that they came up with trails as one of the number one things, walking trails around. We're looking at what we call the barbecue kind of pit areas, children's play areas, which is, again, very much what we do, and then a sunset plaza area to watch the sunsets over the side of the city. So very much they asked, you can see the pictures of the consensus concept there, so I kind of laid out how we would look at, you know, the landscape berm to kind of soften I-90 a little bit, the Sunset Bridge and Plaza. Really, when you arrive, it doesn't show itself very well. It shows itself in a very utilitarian way. So when you come up the drive off of East 72nd Street, it basically shows the great lawn where the ball diamonds would have been, and how we'll basically be able to program it in different ways to allow people to come and use the park. We've got these nature play concepts for different age groups, kind of across the different things. One of the things that is different for us is this water play concept. We haven't fully vetted what that will look like. Is it more of a splash pad flow through type area, but that is one of the things that may be in one of the phases after. We were granted an $8 million gift from the Mandel Foundation. Metroparks will lean in and put funds in it as well, but this is a great opportunity to kind of reimagine this. The sewer district is doing a big project there right now, which we believe would end probably mid part of this summer, Sean? Late summer. So they're in the one quadrant over there by basically two, between two and four. So they'll have some restorative work there. But basically unified trail experience around there, increasing better sight lines. This park has a lot of very good tree canopies, and we'd really like to preserve that to the best of our ability. The great lawn where it says that, that's where the ball diamonds were. So we want to reopen that and kind of say, you're welcome. Welcome to be here. So that's essentially it. MLK, making sure that there's a connection there to lead into the University Circle area. And then there's this kind of multi-sport court concept on the north side.
I noticed there's a lot of parking.
Yeah. I think our hope is that, you know, when, I'll be very frank, when we took over Edgewater Park, most would say there was a lot of parking there too. Yeah. And now you struggle to find a spot. So, you know, we're probably 18 months to 2 years from kind of turning, you know, the park exactly where it needs to be, but a lot of positive movement. We're very thankful of the Mandel Foundation funds that we were able to secure. This is part of the kind of the bigger vision of East 9th to East 55th, the new trail connection, rehabbing 55th all the way to MLK, the Cheers vision that will come, and then the concept of our sailing center that you'll see here in a little bit.
Piece of the pie.
Fabulous.
So MLK has, it looks like they have a bike trail there. There's that leads door to the park. What is the access like from the neighborhoods? Is there some additional work that's going to be taking place for the access to the park?
That is definitely one of the strong considerations. This park is unique, and you see it's bifurcated. I mean, you look at 72nd on the west, you look at the CSX Railroad to the south, Martin Luther King, there's a lot of borders to it.
That's industrial land on the south.
It is, yeah. The old White Motor Company, we believe in there. There is, it's not lore, there is a tunnel that was through underneath the railroad. It has been filled in. We believe that it comes down, and Sean can probably tie this in a little bit better, 7 East 82nd Street, it comes into the park there. It's one of the things that was studied at a kind of a high level yet because of the work that we need to do around the park, but that could be one of the locations. We believe wholeheartedly that should be one of the connections, although, you know, working with the railroad and some of the other things won't be the easiest. So we were trying not to get caught up in that, to redo the park first. But MLK, but then certainly the bikeway that would go through Bratnall and around our Lakefront Nature Preserve area, and then coming down 9th.
So that's an easement?
An easement? Well, we'll see what it looks like. Did I cover good enough for you, Sean? Thank you.
I was trying to ask about the coordination with the other parts of the community that needs to come into play to make this park successful. So thank you.
Yeah, right now it's, to Commissioner Moore's point, you know, you would technically drive there. Is there other ways? Certainly, I think working with, you know, Mayor Bibb and his administration and the new Parks Department, you know, can MLK change its narrative a little bit? Can we make some, what I would say, more intuitive connections? To be very frank, 72nd is a very utilitarian cut through. And so, you know, can we do things to soften that, to be more welcoming to the neighborhood, the St. Clair Superior Bikeway, how do we connect that? So there is a tremendous amount of coordination that's going on relative to this, but we know that we need to build it up first.
Okay, thank you.
Recommended action falls in the top portion of page 18.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is Cuyahoga, well, this again, Valley Parkway Bridge Rehabilitation. This is Rocky River. Sean's waiting in the wings, ready to pounce if I mess up here. But this is a bridge rehabilitation project that is right next to the Nature Center. We have delayed this because of the Cedar Point time frame that it took a great period of time. We have a very condensed schedule of about 3 months, plus or minus, to get this done. Is that correct, Sean?
Yes, sir.
Very good. I'm holding him to it. But essentially, we're looking at just rebuilding the existing bridge, and it was built in 1969. This is part of the municipal bridge funding program. And again, this is at Valley Parkway. We do and will put together alternative plans to go all the way around the through bikers to go through the backside of the Nature Center. that we are very comfortable being able to move forward with this project this summer. Shermer Construction was deemed to be the best based on the bid total and overall scoring. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 19.
Move the motion.
Second.
Commissioner Rinker mentioned something about the federal funding, and I think this is an example of one of those fundings that come through ODOT, but from federal funding sources. Is there a time frame in which these dollars need to be used? Is there a use it or lose it type of program?
Good morning. There absolutely is a time frame for which these dollars need to be spent. We've been awarded four municipal bridge funding projects. Two of them are under construction. The other two are moving forward through the process. We're on schedule for each and every one of those to expend the dollars by which the deadline has been stated. So here we're right where we need to be. And in fact, every dollar that's before you today is actually covered by that municipal bridge fund grant.
Mm-hmm. These are reimbursable, right?
It is reimbursable, yes. So not only do we have enough funds to cover the construction, but also the construction inspection, which you'll see a action on that next month.
Thank you. So we had a first and a second. All in favor? Aye.
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 The next is contract amendment number one, GMP number one, contract 1670, construction manager at risk, Cleveland Metro Parks, Patrick S. Parker Sailing Center. This is in the lakefront reservation. We advertised for request for qualifications back in 2022. The board awarded the contract to Whiting Turner. At this point in time, we have raised over $15 million to be able to build the state-of-the-art sailing center, the first of its kind in Lake Erie. We're working for an unprecedented amount of public access and a state-of-the-art community facility where the neighborhood and the residents feel welcome. We have gone through a tremendous amount of work to get all of our numbers where we need. This will include the demolition, electrical mobilization, site packages. This first GMP is in the award of $4,167,493. We are greatly appreciative of all the staff's work. Most of it was designed in-house and managed in-house at this point in time to keep costs down. And we are very happy to be able to bring this GMP number one forward on page 21.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is contract.
Sorry.
It's almost like we need theme music to start. This is contract amendment number nine, GMP number eight, contract 1543. This is again for the gorillas. This will be something that we'll be going through for a long period of time. This is the next phase of work. Higley has established GMP number eight construction documents. This award amount is $2,253,987. This is with the Albert M. Higley Company. This includes HV equipment. Part of this is we're ordering for something that we're gonna have to put in because of the lead times to get the actual equipment in so that when we build that we're actually ready to go. And this is the skylight materials for the roof. Recommended action falls in the mid portion of page 23.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next is authorization of grant resubmittal to Clean Ohio Trails Fund. This is Solon to South Chagrin. This is phase two. We have been partnering with the city of Solon, village of Bentleyville, through the corporate line and the adding to the existing trail from Chagrin Falls to Chagrin River Road. This has been identified in our second century of stewardship. You can see the phase there in the yellow dots. Metro Parks has worked, again, very hand in glove with Mayor Krause and the entire city of Solon. We are very appreciative of all of their work, their time, talents, efforts, and funding that has been able to put this trail. We've been talking about this one for quite a number of years, dates back probably at least a decade. This is the Metro Parks resubmittal for an ODNR Clean Ohio Trail funding grant of the amount of $500,000. We're hopeful that this will help bring the cost down for the Cleveland Metro Parks input, but this is the yellow section in phase two. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 25.
Brian, at River Road, are you using an existing bridge there?
No, we're actually building over the Chagrin River. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. We actually walked it one day. We called it the Survivor Tour. A few people walked around, but most of the rest of us walked right through it. It is truly one of the most remarkable areas of the Park District. It'll be a fantastic bridge that's built kind of after the one that we did over Big Creek and the one that we did over Euclid. It'll have some similar characteristics of that, but it took some easements and some work and some other things, but we've been at this project for a good number of years, and we're happy to be able to make this completion because it didn't exist in this fashion before.
Move the motion.
Did we make any changes to the application to make it more competitive, or?
We constantly retool our applications depending on the feedback that we get. It's a highly competitive project, and sometimes others fall in front of it. Most times we've been very blessed with an award. This didn't happen to be one of them, but we're back at it again, and sometimes timing is everything. So we're hopeful that we can be successful in this one.
Great, thanks.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Authorization of a grant submittal for Clean Ohio Trail, Cleveland Foundation Centennial Lake Link Trail, Irishtown Bend. This is something that dates back to the days of Paul Alcinas. There was some funding that was put aside a number of years ago. We're seeking an additional $500,000 from Ohio Clean Ohio Trail Fund for this project. This is a great continuation of the work that the Cleveland Foundation Centennial Lake Link Trail. We've been proud to partner with many different agencies across Northeast Ohio, including the Sewer District, the Port Authority, State of Ohio, City of Cleveland, and others. But this is a portion of trail that Metro Parks has to lean into and put some funds into. We are hopeful that we could be successful in a request for $500,000 to help with the assist with the project enhancements along the way. You can see the section of trail. This is the last section of trail that needs to be built to connect to the waterfront. The towpath certainly lands itself at Canal Basin Park, and this will certainly tie into the work that we're doing on the opposite side of the riverbank in the future. Recommended action falls on the bid bottom portion of page 25 leading into page 26 to submit a grant in the amount of $500,000 for the Centennial Trail.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is Professional Services Agreement, RFQ 6855, Design and Environmental Review Documents for Royal View Lane. This is very similar to the municipal bridge funding dating back to 2023. We're able to get a little bit more of a portion of funding. We continue to move forward and look at all of our bridges and inspections and culverts. This is a professional services contract with Arcadis to be able to move the Bridge Inspection Engineering Support Program to move forward for Royal View. Recommended action falls on the mid portion of page 27.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next is change order number one, contract 1772, Cleveland Metro Park Zoo Wide Projects, Zoo Paving Plaza. This has been something that's been identified for a number of years to be able to actually repave the front entrance. We have pavers there, and we are working very hard at doing this in multiple sections over a period of time. We've tried to extend it just a little bit, so there's a number of different ways that we're looking at how to make sure that we have the identified ADA transitions through it. This is part of Turner's overall scope of work. This is RFB 6768B Zoo Pavement Plaza for the amount of 991067. It's just the additional amount of $7,939. Recommended actions on top portion of page 29.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Okay.
We will move into the tabulation of award and bids, commodity usage report, bid renewal for hay, networking cabling, fertilizers, grass seed, insecticides for golf courses, Seneca XG drainage to continue to make the golf course more playable, primate forest additions. This is part of the Cleveland Public Power high voltage relocation line that we need to be able to put our road in, a few mowers, trucks, tractors, and that is it. That is on the top portion of page 30, the recommended action.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We have the approval of vouchers and payroll.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 50, you'll see resolution 25-02-014 in the total amount of $13,610,057.04. I attest all the vouchers have been reviewed as to their legality and they conform with the Ohio Revised Code. I would ask your approval of those vouchers.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Public comments.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Do we have some public comments? Yes, Marty. Thank you.
Of course. As you know, I write my comments out in advance. I have to say that you've worked very hard today to address some of the issues I have, particularly the thing about the federal financing and more involved discussions, but going on from there. Please bear with me as I touch on several areas with topics which used to be extensively discussed in board meetings. Now items are merely approved or lumped together with other bids. The more money you control, and it is a very large amount here, the more attention you need to pay. Note the word we use. $30,000 to set up a video room likely used for the chat with Gilbert, which serves to publicize and promote downtown connections and justify real estate purchases there. In one instance, land was purchased from ODOT for the soccer group. Expressly stated here was that the purchase was contingent on receiving the women's soccer franchise. Denver got the franchise, but that didn't stop the purchase. Interestingly, the press release at the time made no mention of any conditions, altering the message to suit the audience. Every meeting now includes an executive session for real estate. If I recall correctly, that is justified only if public discussions would put Metro Parks at a competitive disadvantage. How many of these acquisitions were even offered to the public? Funds are always approved, rarely questioned, much less denied. Yet asking for public records, police records, reveal that 3 years of citations are corrupted and must now be reconstructed. Not even noticed until my request, or not addressed until then. Neither is acceptable, as all records are required to be kept so as to be readily accessible. Even if citations aren't available, no wonder a police blotter isn't provided to the media. Financial and climate uncertainty are top of mind concerns these days. For finances, please explain the impact and possible mitigation plans if direct federal grants or state pass-throughs are cut back. Regarding climate, please address the ever-increasing chemical use on the golf courses. Perfect turf may come at the cost of perfect health for everyone. Yet environment is proudly hailed as a core principle. Detailed analysis of winning bids is disappearing, though the winner is always the best choice for our team. The Rocky River Nature Center bridge closure is coming. Good to see that posted prominently in advance. But the Cedar Point Bridge was also presumed to be a simple repair, which ended up taking 4 years. Since the Nature Center bridge has no good detour and will create difficulties for both employees and the public, why not return to the original proposal and use a temporary stoplight? Just a few examples of topics to consider. Perhaps some of them deserve the kind of discussion they used to receive. Thank you.
Just to clarify, on the bridge, we actually did look at using a stoplight, but it was cost. It wasn't as cost effective as to be able to rip it off and rebuild it all at the same time, because we definitely did look at that, and it just doubled the time. So we chose that, and we also were not responsible for the Cedar Point Bridge. It was not a Cleveland Metro Parks project. So we are highlighting it as something, and you're tying it to a project that we're doing, but we're not doing it. It was not our project.
Thank you. Any other public comment? No? Then I think we'll move to informational briefings.
Very good. We have Government Finance Officers Association Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. This is through the GFOA. Again, congratulations to Wade and Gary and Barbara and the entire team. Rachel, this team has done an excellent job for its annual comprehensive financial report for the 12th consecutive year. Again, judged by an impartial panel to meet the high standards which the program in the spirit of full disclosure. Again, the achievement is the highest form of recognition in the area of governmental accounting, financial reporting, and attainment represents significant accomplishments by a government and its management. Congratulations, Wade and the finance team. The next is the Coastal and Shoreline Professional Services. Sean?
Brian. Good morning again, Commissioners. Before you this morning for a quick info item on our shoreline engineering. Believe it or not, about 10 years ago, we started a process to pre-qualify engineering firms and be able to select a single firm when needs arose on our shorelines. As we took on lakefront parks and as we had more needs on our riverfronts and lakefronts, we found that we needed to be able to act quicker and have the ability to enter into contracts directly with the best deemed qualified engineer. So we've done that again this year. And what we wanted to do is take a quick look back in the past 5 years. So these are the locations marked on the map, both along the Rocky River, Cuyahoga, and the lakefront, where we've used the ability of this five-year RFQ to move quickly on projects. So we did our Heritage of Rivergate boat docks, ADA kayak launch, inspections at Wildwood Marina. We did our Wendy Park shoreline protection projects. We worked on some floating wetlands. We did a evaluation of the Bulkhead Intercity Yacht Club. At Gordon Park, we looked at the boat launch there and some improvements, and then at Rocky River Nature Center. So quickly, without the ability to have this RFQ, we would have not been able to put together our application so quickly that we needed to both fund and then construct our three plus million dollar project for our Heritage and Rivergate boat docks. So KS Associates was our engineer on this, and they did a great job. They've got the ability to not only engineer well, but also help us in the permitting process. The ADA kayak launch at East 55th. It may look simple, but this was a little bit of a challenging project. We partnered and we built most of this internally with our site and trades team. Grant funding was received for this project. And again, having the ability of this RFQ on file with KS gave us the ability to move fast. Here's Wildwood and some of the inspection work that we've done on our boat ramps. Gordon Park and some of the improvements we've made there, we were able to make a foundation for a davit lift if we ever wanted to have quick launch of small sailboats here. And then Wendy Park, mostly grant-funded project where we can really test some newer, more modern nature-based solutions. And KS was our engineer of record on that as well. And then right now we're looking at Rocky River, and we're doing some modeling of Rocky River over time. Rivers move, rivers morph, so we're looking to see exactly what we can expect here nearest the Nature Center, because we're monitoring some situations there. This year, as we put out for 2025 to 2029, we received four respondents. We are deeming that KS Associates of those four is the most qualified. So as projects like you saw today come forward in the next 5 years, we will have the ability to turn and burn on those rather quickly. So it's been a very good tool for us, and we appreciate you putting the faith in the process to let us continue in that fashion. So any questions you may have?
What was the cost of that last year?
The cost of a specific project or the cost?
The cost of the whole consulting service.
I'd have to go back on a project-by-project basis. Over the five-year period, it was probably $300,000 to $400,000.
Per year?
We negotiate their fees on a per-project basis. So the most notable one would have been the Heritage and Rivergate boat docks. And I can pull that number for you.
No, I'm not.
The other ones are quite nominal, quite small fees.
Good. That is the last information item. There is no old business. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Thursday, March 20th at 8 a.m. in the Rezepka Room. There is an executive session. Rose?
Is there a motion for executive session for the purpose of the purchase or acquisition of real property?
So,
second.
All in favor?
No.
Roll call.
We have to do a roll call.
Yes.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Oh, could we have a motion to...
I'm sorry. Could we have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Do we need roll call for that?
No roll call.
No roll call. All right, all in favor?
We're done.
Aye. All right. I'll get this down, Rose.